Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At 12:45, Chris Russell will be on the show. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Last time I talked to Russell, he told me that Nico Marley and Fish Smithson, yes, that's a real person, were going to stand out in the second half last night. He was right on both accounts. We'll talk to him in 42 minutes. Let's kick off your Beltway Blitz. Nats are on deck. We're starting you off on the gridiron. J.P. Finley, CSN Mid-Atlantic. Good seeing you on the sideline last evening. Your takeaways from a pretty sloppy night in Baltimore.
Well, my first takeaway, and I said when I saw you, is how much weight you've lost, man. You're really looking good.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, man, you look great. As far as the actual action on the field, I mean, it was terrible. What are we supposed to say? But I don't think fans should be too freaked out considering it was far too little work to really get a feel for the starting offense. And the starting defense looked pretty good. I mean, granted, you're playing Ryan Mallett, and they weren't out there very much. But, you know, they didn't give up a first down until late in the first quarter, at least halfway through the first quarter.
Biggest story last night, injury to Murphy, injury to Cravens. I'm guessing we don't know a whole lot more now.
Not yet. I saw both guys in the locker room. Sewell walked out on his own and seemed to kind of hustle out of there. He was gone before the media went in. Trent was on crutches, obviously. Just watching both guys, clearly Trent Murphy's injury looked way worse. You know, we saw that replay, and everybody in the press box kind of cringed. Sua was on the sideline. Trainers were looking at that knee. He got some ice put on that knee. That was about it from what happened during the game. But you don't know until the MRI comes back on either of them. I do think DeShazer Everett is in a position where he could step in for Sua. I don't know that he has the size to do some of the stuff they want to use Sua as far as covering tight ends and running backs and stuff. Trent Murphy is a bit more of a unique situation because he can't play until week six anyway. So if he goes out now and say it's 7-8 weeks, that almost would that timeline would almost put him back when he's eligible to play again anyway.
Which would be probably best case scenario at this point. You mentioned yeah. Everett. Let's kind of look at the linebacking core behind Murphy. Smith has to have a bounce-back season. Anderson's an unknown, liked what I saw last night. Gallette, I don't know what to say other than never plays. How are they at OLB if Murphy, who had 9 sacks last year, isn't able to help?
You know, it's crazy how quick this thing can flip because a week ago the conversation was, wow, they're pretty deep at OLB. Assuming even if Preston's never the dynamic pass rusher, maybe he flashed as a rookie. But say he can get you 7 sacks a year. You can pencil Kerrigan in for double digits. If you have Gallette healthy, then you've got a surplus of guys with Trent Murphy and then whatever Ryan Anderson gives you as a rookie. Now Preston's got a rolled ankle. Gallette missed the game the other night, which I think was a pretty much a fluke injury. They just didn't want to play him yet. But the Murphy thing looks serious, and now it could be a situation where you're counting on Junior Gallette, and you're almost dependent on him to really give you – somebody that can flash on the opposite side of Ryan Kerrigan. And it's crazy how quickly things can change in the NFL.
Do you think that Zach Brown will be the first, second, third down ILB on the inside when the year starts and this is kind of a getting him up to speed thing in the preseason, or is he really going to be part of a rotation?
I think he's got to be. I mean, they talk about competition and there are no favorites for jobs. If that's the case, Zach Brown's got to be out there. I mean, Will Compton is a great guy, and I know Rich Taylor and I were arguing about this, that he calls the plays on the defense, but if you watch last night, it was a brief sample, but Mason Foster and Zach Brown are faster to the ball, and I think both of those guys are capable of calling defenses. Zach Brown did it in spots in Buffalo last year. He told me earlier this offseason that it's not that he doesn't want to call plays, just in Buffalo it depended what side of the football you were on, and more often than not, he was on the left side. So I don't think you can overly rely on the play caller in a defensive huddle when it's not like a quarterback where you're constantly audibling or something. I think you got to get your best players on the field.
J.P. Finley, CSN Mid-Atlantic. I consider him to be one of the best resources for Redskins information on the beat. Does a heck of a job. I thought the Dustin Hopkins 49-yard field goal was significant. Am I overrating that?
I don't think so, especially the way things ended for him last year. Pretty shaky. And, you know, he's had some misses in camp, and they're all messing around at times. But that wind was swirling a little bit. It was a long kick, and it's just a little bit of positive momentum for him. If you remember, he was kicking pretty well last year, and then when they got to Baltimore, there was that crazy wind, and that was his first couple misses on the year, I believe. So hopefully, if there's any positive momentum from last night, maybe that's a little bit for the special teams guys.
It is crazy, by the way, just crazy how good Justin Tucker is. On that note, just watching him next to you in pregame warmups, I mean, he is the best person on the planet at doing what he does.
Effortlessly drilling 55-yarders.
Yeah.
And like, no question about him. They were dead center.
He hit 59 in the game. Thank you, buddy. Much appreciated.
Thanks, man. Take care.
You bet. Let's talk baseball. Byron Kerr, Masson Sports, pre and post, massonsports.com. Byron, did the Nats win that game 6 weeks ago, turning things over to the bullpen at a 2-2 score?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is a formula they used twice in this series against the Marlins, where they score in the bottom of the eighth inning and they have their bullpen shut them down. And that was a question posed to a lot of the players afterwards, including Brian Goodwin. Is there a sense of confidence in the dugout now because you have guys like Brandon Kinstler, you know, Sean Doolittle and Ryan Madsen to shut down 7-8-9? And that's just something that they just didn't have, as you said, 2 months ago. And now it just pushes everybody back, which is the idea Mike Rizzo was looking for. And so now they have an embarrassment of riches in the bullpen, whereas before it was like whose responsibility is going to be where. And that's something that Dusty Baker pointed to last night as well. If now I can slot guys into where they're supposed to pitch instead of forcing a round peg into a square hole, which is something he had to do, you know, as you said, in April and May.
Brian Goodwin, game-winning homer last night, 2-run scoring hits. He's got 13. He's not going to hit for a lot of average. There are holes in this swing. He's probably not a top-of-the-order guy when everyone's healthy. But he suddenly looks like a major leaguer who can provide some thump at the bottom of the order and play good corner outfield defense, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's got some tools, definitely, and certainly has the attitude to be that kind of player. And I mean attitude as in his clutch work. He's hit a lot of those, as you said, important base hits, important home runs. I mean, he had two RBI yesterday when things weren't going well, got the team back in the ballgame, and then won it with the game-winning homer. And, you know, if you look back at his swing, as you talked about, I've talked to him many years, the Arizona Fall League. He's always worked on his short game. But this power stroke is something that's kind of new. And, you know, his average has not been great here recently, but he's had some huge hits. So it's going to be interesting how things play out when Michael Taylor returns and if that will change anything for the depth of the team. But you're right. He is a very valuable commodity because you never know what's going to happen with Jason Wirth. If he's going to be 100%, that's why the Howie Kendrick signing was so important. And Goodwin can play a part in the success of this team, too.
Byron, I'd love to chat more, but we got breaking NFL news to get to. Thanks so much, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, buddy.
Let's hop right to it. Go to the update desk. And Earl Forsey, this is hot off the presses. Ezekiel Elliott News.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.